You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to give a shout out to the new subreddit that has been created, the r/Heroes for Sale subreddit. So it's new this week, and I'm excited that I'm going to be posting some stuff on there. I'm going to be posting maybe some like cards that I like, and also I'm going to be trying to track some of the like celebrities and famous people that are posting about sports cards, and also I'm going to be experimenting with different types of articles on there. So if you are on Reddit, go and search Heroes for Sale. It's spelled the same, HEROSFORSALE. Search that. If you are new to Reddit and you don't use it, I would definitely suggest going and making an account and getting Reddit, because honestly, Reddit is, it's a phenomenal website. And if you are, if you're not familiar with it, I think you're going to become addicted. I think it's a great website to go if you just want to like find cool stuff. It's kind of outside the feed. Like, you don't have to go to like Twitter or Instagram and see what people are talking about. You kind of see like a broad spectrum of what's going on the internet on that day. So if you want to go follow the subreddit, go and subscribe. It's r/Heroes for Sale. Let's get going. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Heroes for Sale podcast. My name is Adam. I am your host. So on today's episode, today is the release of Topps Chrome Baseball. So I would be a little bit surprised, and I think I put this out on Twitter, I would be a little bit surprised if we saw any type of like Topps update this year. Based off of, like I talked about on yesterday's podcast, I talked about the Joe Adell card. Which, actually, before we get into the episode, I do want to make an update on yesterday's episode. So I put the episode out, and then I put, and then someone commented on one of my Instagram posts about, apparently, Topps has used, which I didn't know this, so that's why I didn't talk about it. Topps has used a rookie card logo in the past. Now, they used it on a Kevin De Bruyne card. I think he still plays for Manchester City. Back in 2016, Topps, on most of their soccer products, they had this rookie card logo. But the weird thing was, someone was saying Zlatan Ibrahimovic, his card had a rookie card logo for some reason. And then De Bruyne, his card had a rookie card logo, but like he had played for Chelsea, and then he played, I think, in the Bundesliga before coming over to Manchester City, so it wasn't technically his rookie card. Now, I'm guessing maybe what happened, because after that, they stopped using the rookie card logo. So, 2016, there were some Topps soccer cards with the rookie card logo, but this will be the first one. The Mason Greenwood card will be the first one with the new logo. Wanted to point that out before we get into today, before we kind of get into everything. So, yeah, Topps update. I would be a little bit surprised if they decided to release Topps update, because with all of the rookies that are getting their debuts in this season, they have used the call-up logo instead of the rookie card logo. So I'm not sure like what the draw would be for them to come out with the Topps update, because typically the Topps update is the players that get their, that get called up later on in the season, they get their first rookie card in Topps update. So, I mean, for example, like Trout's cards coming from Topps update, Mookie Betts's card comes from Topps update. I believe Arenado's card came from Topps update as well. But so this year, we're not going to see all these rookies getting their cards until next year, based off of what they're doing with the Topps Now debut cards. Like I said, using the call-up logo versus the rookie card logo. So I would be surprised if they came out with a Topps update, because they also typically will come out with a Topps Chrome update, which I think is, which is the same thing essentially as Topps update. It's just they, halfway through the season, after Series 2, and they've messed all the timelines of all the releases have been kind of changed up, so everything's a little bit different this year, but typically Topps Chrome will include Series 1 and Series 2, and then Topps Update Chrome will include those rookies that came on later on in the season. So, like, if you're looking for, like, a Keston Hira from last year, or you're looking for, or like a Carter Keyboom. I think both of them, both of their cards are in Topps Chrome Update, not Topps Chrome. So Topps Chrome is coming out today, and that's going to have all of the rookies from Series 1, or the important rookies. I'm not sure. I would imagine they would use all the rookies, because I don't know how many exactly they use, but when I was looking at the checklist, all the big rookies from Series 1 and then Luis Robert are all in the are all on the checklist for the product. So, like I said, I would be surprised if they came out with this year's Topps Update, but, you know, who knows? And the thing that I think is interesting with Topps Update, now, I was looking at the... I had been comparing some data, and I think the refractors in Topps Chrome are actually undervalued based off of... So I'm trying to think. Let me go back and see if I can find this information, because I think it was just based off of the price of some of the other cards, and it may have been I was comparing them to a... You know, I don't even remember exactly how far back. Let me see. Let me maybe go to my... I'll see if I posted on Instagram. I don't think I did. Because I think last week and then into this week a little bit, I've been looking into comparing cards and trying to figure out like where... Which cards I thought were essentially undervalued. So I'm looking for the Topps Chrome post, because I think that info was pretty important to this conversation here. Oops, nope, that's not it. Let's see. I don't know exactly, because I remember the post that I came out with was basically just that Topps Chrome refractors, or Topps... Shoot, actually, hold on. I'm still looking for this data here. Oh, it was... hold on. So I'm looking. Let's see. Yeah, that's it. So it was... I was comparing the Fernando Tatis Chrome and non-Chrome rookies, which then eventually led me into looking into the gold versus the rainbow foils, which I think it's actually sort of a big deal when it comes to value and what kind of the hobby looks at as an undervalued card. Because, and essentially, it was all actually stemming from, I was comparing the rainbow foil, Acuna to the Prism Silver Luka. And when I was comparing those numbers, like, I felt like the rainbow foil should be a lot more popular. Or it should have better, I guess, maybe value is the term that I'm going to use here, but I felt like the rainbow foil should be more popular when it comes to the difference between like a prism prism silver. So essentially the data that I pulled was for, and this is now I'm looking at the data right now for, the Tatis cards, it was the regular base versus the... When these are all PSA 10s as well. So it was the regular base versus the rainbow versus the gold. And these were all, like I said, PSA 10s. And then I also looked at the overall gold versus rainbow just in general from the flagship product. And the rainbow in most cases was more rare. But for like a player like Tatis, the rainbow was $200 less. And then $200 less, and that's kind of where I also thought that the refractor chrome card may be more valuable than I think people are giving it credit for, because that's what someone said. Someone said that the refractor chrome card should be more, would be more of a closer representation to the prism silver, but like when you look at the pricing of that, it really isn't. Now, the data I'm looking at, it's a little bit older. It's like a week and a half old. So like the Tatis at the time of when I was doing this, actually, I can pull up the exact. So it was the 28th, the exact data that I was looking at. So like the, for Tatis, there was 6,968 total PSA 10s. And at the time, they were around 90. I think they have gone up. So these numbers, you can probably... add 10 to 20% to the pricing of them. So the gold, there was 175 PSA 10s, and those were 600 a piece, roughly. There are 166 rainbow foil PSA 10s for Tatis, and those were 400 a piece. And then the Chrome card, there was 3,438 PSA 10s, and those were about $80 a piece. So like I said, you probably can add 10 to 20% there. But then the refractor was what I thought was interesting. Those were only $130, and there were 530 or 593 in total. And this gets into the conversation that I was thinking about, like, the numbering that Topps uses is actually, like, it's perfectly spot on when it comes to the number of packs you find in a blaster, because since there's only 7 packs in a blaster, like, the gold cards are, they're 1 in 8, and then the rainbow are 1 in 10. So if they're 1 in 8, that basically means that Topps can come out with almost as much product as they want, and they don't really have to disclose the numbers, where like if it was 1 in 7 packs, and then you figure however many blasters there are, then you could kind of calculate like there are X amount of packs that are out there in the world, just because based off of like the blaster itself is going to have the amount of it's going to have at least one of the gold cards in it. So granted, most of the time there's going to be 2020 for this year and 2019 for last year, but like it's hard, it's almost if they're not coming out with, if it's 1 in 8 packs and there's 7 packs in a blaster, like think about how many more blasters they can come out with, basically, because granted, you know, I don't know what the curation system or the collation, I think it's called, of the packs into the blaster is, but like you could buy 10 blasters and hypothetically you could pull 0 because of, you know, they're not all coming from the blasters aren't all coming from the same like location or whatever. And like, since it's 1 in 8 and there's only 7 packs in the blaster, that essentially means that Topps can come out with however many packs they want. And obviously the odds themselves are going to be a little bit different for Topps Chrome. So I am wondering, like, because the thing that I was looking into was trying to figure out, like, is Topps Chrome, or just baseball cards, I think, in general, are a little bit underrated, and I don't know if I talked about, I forget if I talked about this on one of last week's episodes when I was pulling some of this data, but I was comparing it to basketball, and when I compared it to basketball, the pricing, and it's very similar to, like, how I thought that people were going to be looking into secondary products with basketball, because Prizm has become almost like a high-end product where it's pretty expensive, to be honest. Like if you're trying to buy Prizm, and you almost can't even find it, to be honest. Like packs, you're not going to find any packs, basically. And if you are, I think blasters were like $200 or something. I was looking on eBay, and that's you shouldn't be buying that. Like if it's, and this is, it's sort of, So I talked about this point on a podcast, I think, earlier this week. It might have been Monday, it might have been Tuesday or Wednesday's podcast. It was that Panini and Topps, they don't want you to be able to sell their product for double the market value. Like, Panini doesn't want blasters to be double the price. Like, or triple or quadruple or however much they've gone up, because when something sells on the secondary market, that essentially is Panini's not making any of that money. So like they're essentially getting money taken out of their pockets when they're selling it, and it's almost to the point where it's like how can they you can't expect them not to print more product, because, and that's what I think is going to happen over the next few years. I think we're going to see Panini kind of print more to the same where Topps, like I said, when the first few weeks, like it was sort of during the pandemic still at the, down the street at the Target. It was still sort of during the pandemic, so I wasn't super surprised when I couldn't find any of the Series 2 blasters, but the last few times I've gone, I've been able to find them. But like basketball, I haven't seen any basketball product in stores, like in a Target in like a year and a half. Like, it's even at the, like you could go to probably a hobby shop, but you're going to be paying a premium. And if you want to buy it online, I mean, that's just ridiculous. But like, how can you not expect that Panini is going to want to make more product? If they see that a blaster box of Prism basketball is selling for $200, and there's the same product that when it first came out was $20 at Target. Like, that's $180 that Panini isn't making, and they don't want that. So, you know, I would expect that they're going, I don't know. It is strange because, you know, people complain. I don't know if it's the same group. And, you know, sometimes you do see the same group of people complaining, but it feels like the same people who are complaining about not being able to find product in stores are the same people that are going to complain when the product becomes, when there's a lot more of it printed. Like, it seems like that's the same group, and maybe it's not. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's people who want the product, but they don't want more printed. But at the same time, like, that doesn't really make much sense, and it just doesn't, like, there's a disconnect there where you look at the overall how much they're printing of this product, and I guess maybe we can go back to Tops a little bit here. When I was the Tops aspect of this is, it feels like, you know, the strange thing in those numbers that I was pulling with the overall product was that in theory there's 2020, or there should be 2000, or two, actually, sorry, go back to Tatis. There should be 2020 Tatis cards that are gold. The gold, there should be 2020 of those. And there was only, actually, let me go back to the information here. There's only 175 10s, PSA 10s, and I think it was in the 330 range. So, you know, granted, that's still like, let's see, I mean, let's just round up to 400 divided by 2019. I mean, that's 20% of the cards. And I think the number might have been a little bit larger. I forget off the top of my head, but like, I'm just surprised that that more of those cards aren't being graded, which then also kind of leads me to, like, is the rainbow foil technically more valuable because it's more rare, even though it's not numbered? I guess it's a similar conversation to the Prism Silver versus the Red Prisms, where the silver, that's kind of the thing, like, the, and maybe the mindset is different for basketball compared to baseball, but, like, the silver prism, it has been historically more valuable than the red prism, which the red prism is numbered to 299. Now, I think there could have been a shift there where maybe more savvy collectors are coming in and they're buying the red because they know there's only 299 of them, and if you're getting a PSA 10... obviously, that's bringing the number down pretty significantly, but then that concept doesn't really translate, it doesn't really translate to the gold versus the rainbow, because the gold is numbered, and it's also, there's more of them, so I don't know if that is a thing, if that's a reason why, like, for Prism, the lowest numbered card is going to be numbered to 299. This one's numbered to 2019. So, I mean, there's almost 10 times the amount. A little bit less than 10. It's probably like eight-ish times more golds than there are Prism Reds. I think that's correct. But the concept that the gold versus the rainbow's less. See, it doesn't. And that's kind of where I'm thinking, like, is the rainbow, that does that mean that the rainbow is more valuable than the gold? Or should it be the opposite way for Prism? Should the red be, like, way, way significantly more valuable than the silver? I don't know. See, because since they're both basically the opposite, I don't necessarily know which direction is the correct direction when that question is asked. I would say that the gold, I don't know, you know, because that's the weird thing. Like, it is, because of the odds, the gold is more rare. Like, that's also the thing. So that's not the case with the silver. The silver is not more rare than the number to 299. Now, granted, if Prism were to come out with a new numbered variation that was, like, numbered to that year, I would say then the silver would probably be more rare than that number. Maybe, and I don't even know. That's the thing. Like the, but we know for a fact that the rainbow is more rare than the gold because of the odds in the packs of the blasters, and then I don't know if the odds go across all of them. I forget if like a hobby or a jumbo hobby are the same as the blasters. I think they are, but I'm not, like I said, I'm not 100% sure. But based off of the numbers, the rainbow, even though it's not numbered, is more rare than the gold. So, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting thing that I've been thinking about, and then I've been looking at some numbers, and I don't really know which direction is the correct direction because they're both so different. So, you know, I would be, actually, I'm interested to see what people have to say about, like, that concept. If they think that the, and I know it's different, but I think the theories themselves are very similar in the fact that, like, one is more valuable than the other. But I don't know. So that's all I've got for today's episode. I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you want to, go follow me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We've got a new YouTube video that should be up. Go follow there. And also go follow on Reddit. We made a new Reddit page. I'm very excited. I'm hoping to get people to subscribe on there. So if you're not new to Reddit, or if you use Reddit and you want to subscribe, go subscribe. If you're new and make an account, that would be phenomenal. We've got a lot going on over there. So thank you all for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.